May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 393. A crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, or with the children's bread. 393.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. In the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God, thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that was possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha cumi," which is, being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let us pray. O thou great and holy, merciful and gracious, infinite being, the holy, righteous, eternal God, we bow before thee now, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one almighty God of love, and how we do need thee to send to us the Holy Spirit. We plead that promise that thou who art the Lord Jesus did say when living here, let us speak it thyself. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? We do plead that, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we do need the Holy Spirit, Lord, here tonight, in pulpit and in pew. And therefore draw near unto the I Am That I Am, our most holy Father in heaven, and would truly say from our hearts, "Hallowed be thy name." and would confess that we can only draw near in the new and living way, lined out by the precious blood of thy well-beloved Son. And therefore, in asking of thy great majesty, we will look to thee immediately, Lord Jesus, in the presence of God for us, and ask our most holy Father in thy name, and through thy worthy merit, that thou who art God would be pleased to send the Holy Ghost to us tonight. Oh, that we may be given this evening a true hearing ear, and one may be given a door of utterance. There may be that heart given, soft and tender and broken and receptive to truly hear what the Lord our God will speak. We want that heart to be opened, and we want the entrance of thy word deep within. We need much saving, much mercy, much blessing. So we would draw near. Look down from heaven, the height of thy sanctuary, and behold the groaning of the prisoner. And do loose those that are bound. And say unto them that have a fearful heart, fear not. Behold, your God will come with recompense, even God. He will come and save you. Save us, poor sinners, Lord. We've turned in now from the busy scenes of the daily life and its duties and industry and labour and affairs, and how we do so need the blessing of the Lord, and we need to feed, and we need much water. And we want that not only the living water to satisfy thirst, to know the refreshing from the Lord, and that sweet satisfaction. How we feel we need that water to sanctify and to wash away all another day's filth. And in that we would plead thy one great sacrifice. We've not another sacrifice to plead, Lord, but thy one great sacrifice. Grant us faith in thy precious name, and to plead the precious blood that thou didst shed once. Oh, what a wonderful, blessed God thou art, in giving thine well-beloved Son, and raising him up into thy right hand, and giving poor sinners here below eternal life, to believe in thee, to look to thee. Oh, so foul and stinking and wicked. Oh, Lord, we would honestly tell thee the truth about ourselves. We are downright wicked. And Lord, we would plead yet that precious blood that was shed once. Want the sanctifying effect of thy sacrifice, the efficacy of the precious blood that was shed, the efficacy of the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness to know abundance of life, and a gospel hope and godly fear, and that reverential awe in our spirit, and a wise and understanding heart to perceive we are before the Lord at all times, and that we may venture by faith and draw with joy from the wells of salvation. Ah, Jacob's well was deep, we read. Oh, what a blessed, deep, sweet well is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, what an abyss of love there. An abyss of sanctification and everlasting love. And a precious fullness of grace for all our woe, all our ills, all our changes, all our days, all our whole life, an all-sufficient grace to bring a poor man, a helpless worm of the earth, safely through his days and home to God. Bless us tonight, Lord. We are but poor men at best. We live at a dying rate. Everything we touch, we fail. Everything we touch, we sin. Oh, we're full of sin. We have to confess it. But Lord, help us still to believe, to persist at the throne of grace, and to cast every care. Now, petition is this, Lord, that here tonight, being the great physician in heaven, yet the omnipresent God, who knows all about us now in our cases, who can stoop low to us here tonight, and can apply the precious word of life and balm, who can truly say, peace be still, and can truly say, fear not, and thy sins which are many are all forgiven, who can truly say, I am with thee, Israel passing through the fire, I'll see you again. Oh, thou can say all these wonderful things by the power of the sweetness of the truth in our hearts, and bring about, Lord, gladness and joy and gospel hope to us poor, miserable, dying worms of the earth. We're often miserable, often in dark places, often so far off from God, and perceive such a hardness of heart, and groan within ourselves, and say like the apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death and sin? And oh, we do look to thee, Lord, kind physician in heaven's court. Apply the healing word, the divine touch. There's not a sickness, a woe, an illness, a sinnership too hard for thee, the great and eternal Prince. May we be helped to believe in all our weakness and troubles, the sweet truth that is declared at resurrection. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So may we wait upon thee, pleading thy power, pleading thy skill, pleading thy faithfulness, pleading those covenant promises. Give us a faith that persists. Give us a heart not only to believe but to argue in a most holy and reverent way, honouring Emmanuel and pleading what Emmanuel has said, so that we cannot take no for an answer, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it in those whosoevers and whatsoevers, all those precious truths. Lord, thy kingdom come. So bless poor sinners here tonight. Bless the minister likewise. And be with us in all our remaining days. How rapidly we have come to the close, or to the well-nigh close of the this year. Yes, Lord, we've only, less than a fortnight of this year left. And Lord, we do pray that thou'lt be with us and spared into another year. We often tremble, and as we get older we tremble more to realise we know not what a day may bring forth. And please be with us. Please help us. Please go before us. Please save us from our sins. And be with us in the coming year. Please be that same God in the coming year, as thou hast been to us this year and all the days of our life hitherto. We would desire to raise an Ebenezer, a real Ebenezer, and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We long to crown thee Lord of all, but acknowledge thy goodness and mercy. It has followed us. We pray it may yet follow us. For the psalmist said without presumption, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the secret of that precious faith and good hope Indeed was that thy rod and thy staff comforted him, and thou wast his shepherd, and he had not wanted, and by covenant grace and in humble faith he believed he would never want yet. Let us say the disciples when living here, lacked ye anything? Nay, Lord. We have to say to thee, we've not lacked anything. Yet we're so bad, so hard, so forgetful, wander. We're based on grateful monsters, as Gadsby says. We lack nothing for a wonderful, faithful God thou hast been. Oh, Lord, thou who changest not, abide with us in our remaining days and into the coming year. To be spared to the coming year. Oh, may we be helped indeed. Only to be living to publish thy praise and to walk humbly with our God. Oh, to value thee more. Hear our cries in all these things we pray. We're poor men. Remember the poor among us, the needy, the empty, the sin sick, the weary, those who tremble at thy word, for themselves outsiders, realizing what little grace they really have. Yet long for living waters, long for the fullness. Hear their cries. Oh, hear prayer for all in difficulty and fiery trials and business, anxieties and responsibilities and the cares of the family circle, the worries in the domestic scene, the married and the unmarried, each with their own personal and private needs. All remember each. Older friends, friends in affliction, we pray for them. And Lord, we think of our young friends, the young men and the young women. Give them the fear of the Lord. Open their hearts to receive thy word. Pass by their souls and save them. Keep them from the allurements, the attractions of this dying world. Oh, remember our young friends and the dear children we bear affectionately before thee, and the dear little ones, Lord, in arms, bless them. Oh, we wonder what they live to see. Oh, but we do plead, Lord, may they be thine. Oh, bless them, do save them, do have mercy on them. Bless office bearers, give them wisdom, a single eye to thy glory, godly fear, oh Lord, and help them to walk, even as thou have them to walk, to thy glory. And may they be helped truly to discharge the office in faithfulness and in the fear of God. Bless them indeed and bind the brethren here together in love and union and godly fear. And may thy love constrain them to walk together in peace. And may they know that unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in that great question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Add unto them such as shall be saved, those who fear thy name. O Lord, do constrain that as I walk in gospel ordinances, to do these things in remembrance of thee. Remember our land and nation sunk so low, plummeting. O Lord, Antichrist reigns. We're ruled by men of reprobate mind. And yet, Lord, oh, Lord, their counsel is foolishness, total foolishness, but they know it not. Yet they threaten the godly and scorn the truth and scorn the scriptures. But, Lord, we pray, have mercy upon the land. Lord, it's a modern age, it's a global age, not just England, it's the globe, it's the continents, it's an international modern age, instant communication, oppositions of science, genetic science, and electronics and everything, Lord. Oh, what man is poised to do, we realize that he will only do wickedly, but we pray thy kingdom come. Oh, thy will be done in the nations and in our land, in England, in the Church of God, families, our personal pathway. O Lord, help to believe thou art of good will, and dost love thy people. And therefore may we say, thy will be done here below in earth, as being done in heaven, and pray, thy kingdom come, Lord. Yes, thy kingdom come, Lord. Now we do thank thee for the seasons, the wonderful, beautiful seasons, and the harvest, and the cycles of the year. O thy covenant faithfulness, but we plead the everlasting covenant sealed by blood. So we thank thee for all thy goodness, and now we must close in prayer, Lord. Oh, so much to pray for, but may we pray in secret. We long to be able to continue instant in prayer. Oh, the many times we could have prayed in secret and been distracted and not had heart to it, Lord, and that's solemn. And we find we've got those distractions day by day. But oh, grant us real prayer in secret. Closet prayer. Remember friends who were away, be gracious to them, and all whom we should pray for. Thy kingdom come now and have mercy upon us. Bless the flock and friends at home. Bless every precious soul, the young and old. And so have mercy upon us now as we plead thy all-prevailing name, the pardon of our mighty sins. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 395. Behold the throne of grace, the promise calls me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. 395.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and to verse 33, and the last clause in the verse. Mark 5, verse 33, the last clause. And told him all the truth. And told him all the truth. The whole verse reads, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And told him all the truth. The eye of Jehovah, who is omniscient, the eternal Son of God, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, sees everything, notices everything. He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and he knows all about us here, from our first breath to our last breath. And my dear friends, it is indeed a very solemn and a very terrible matter that he knows the depth of the fall and its rampant wickedness. It's a wonderful thing if he knows all about your cries and your prayers, because if there's a cry from your heart for reality and the Lord's blessing, if there's an eye to the glorious person of Christ, if there are humble petitions proceeding out of your heart, if there's a falling down and worshipping him and valuing him, friends, he knows it all. We must not think that Emmanuel did not know about this woman. He wasn't taken by surprise. Note that. I realise the narrative, it would look as though he really didn't know who it was that had touched him. That none can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. Never lose sight of this, that though Jesus here served God, he was a true servant. He served God and he served his church. And he served his church and his heavenly Father as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, obeying all his Father's will, seeking to fulfill all God's counsel and purposes for him. And so he truly obeyed in all things. And was that servant of God, yielding his all to his heavenly Father. But never lose sight of this. He never lost his divinity here below. The divine, eternal Son of God, co-equal and co-eternal with his Father. So he knew all about those comers. And he knew all about this woman as God. But he appeared as that Son of Man, and going about his Father's will, so he made his wonderful works known to the children of men, and the Holy Ghost has recorded this particular incident to encourage the church. To encourage the church. And of course, there are three healings in this chapter. Different cases, but are different cases here this evening. Yes, and methinks I hear the godly saying, yes, Lord, mine's the hardest case. Oh, mine's the most peculiar case. My case is so solemnly unique. of sinners chief, and sinners poor and sinners weak, a sinner helpless and a sinner lost. And these mountains of difficulty and fear and fiery trial. But you see, the Lord's eye is omniscient. He is omniscient. So the narrative is set forth in the everyday life of the Lord Jesus. Went about doing good, and poor sinners came to him, believing in him, who he was, petitioning him, and in so many different ways he healed and he blessed and he instructed and he saved. And so this woman came, you see, and fell down and before him and told him all the truth. Just briefly concerning the woman, and then I'll come to the clause, the Lord helping me. Of course, she was unclean according to the ceremonial law of running issues. And she was unfit for the service and of God, the services of the sanctuary. She had a running issue, whether it be a skin from the skin or outlets, they were rendered unclean, you see. And she had spent those many years, as it were, 12 years, seeking physicians of no value. Mind you, the poetry of Seneca. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more. Till late I heard my Saviour say, "Come hither, soul, I am the way." When she heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus. Now, I don't know every case here, of course, but I would assume that most of us have heard of Jesus from our childhood by the God's favour of godly praying parents. But you see, friends, grace isn't hereditary. You may have heard of the Lord Jesus, but Jehovah said, "Can you mean nothing to me? The Lord, our righteousness." And maybe with the light of a natural conscience or some solemn convictions over a particular issue, or you sought to the Lord and to improve your life and to become better. And that's what that woman did, you see. Oh, but she grew worse. Sinner, there's no cure for your sinnership out of a precious Christ. Away from God you must perish. Beautiful word, isn't it? The eternal God is thy refuge on the burial sheet today. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, there's no cure out of Christ. When she heard of Jesus, so she came, you see, and pressed toward him. And we, of course, have read the narrative, and she did something very secret and very private to her. And your religion for the Holy Ghost is mostly in secret. So the religion of Saul of Tarsus was public, very, very public. Very public indeed, because he wanted everybody to know what a wonderful Jew he was, and particularly being proud of belonging to that sect of the Pharisees. You meet Christian folks, they are full of their works and full of their talk, what they were doing for Jesus, and they're sweet and lovely and full of virtues, and they want everybody to know. But friends, when you get a sense of those holy eyes looking at you, and you know you love sin, you know you love the world, you know your heart wanders, how bad you are, rebellious you are, proud you are, imperious you are, unbelieving you are, lustful you are, foolish you are, light-hearted you are, how rebellious you can get and fret and murmur, what doubters we are. Oh, you haven't got much to talk about, have you? You want to find a secret place before God, don't you? In your life, perhaps driving your car, or out in the field, the workbench, the office desk, your bed at night, the kitchen sink, making the bed, whatever. But you long to be alone and sink down and tell the Lord all your secrets. All your secrets. And pour out your case. And petition. And petition the way of that middle hymn 395. Oh, my dear friends, that richer atoning blood which sprinkled round I see provides those who come to God an all-prevailing plea. Do you believe it, friend? The Lord help me to believe it more, and you to believe it more. It's true, it's blessedly true, but I have to hasten now. So I want to come to this and told him all the truth. Now, you see, she had some sacred knowledge that he is the truth. In pondering this, it struck me so sweetly. You know, what a wonderful thing, you may go to the truth and tell him all the truth. But Jesus is the truth. He's the truth that God is love. That God is pure and holy. He cannot lie in his everlasting covenant. His word shall stand, his truth prevail. And not one jot or tittle shall ever fail of the law or the gospel. In the case of the church, the law is fulfilled to every jot and tittle. Nothing shall fail. All is finished. All is fulfilled. All is done. And God is pleased. It's been done by Jesus. And the gospel doesn't fail in its life and power and strength and efficacy in your soul, helping you to believe and to wrestle and to obtain, to press toward the mark, to fill your mouth with arguments and to draw with joy from the wells of salvation. He told him all the truth. What a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus is the truth. What a glorious high priest he is. My friends, he's the most blessed and perfect and lovely holy high priest. There's none like unto the Lord Jesus. Why, my dear friends, he's so perfectly suited for those who have a nature of murder and adultery and lying and theft and covetousness and worldly mindedness and every filthy evil and wretched thing there is in human nature. Such a perfect high priest to intercede upon those poor petitions that he hears coming out of the petitioner's heart. Jesus, have mercy on me. O Lord, save me from my sins. O Lord, my sins are great. And what a mercy you can come with this woman here when she heard of Jesus. You hear of the Lord Jesus, as she heard by faith. You'll say, my sins are great, but don't surpass the power and glory of thy grace. Perfect high priest, friends, pure and holy and separate from sinners, God, yet himself, oh, a man of sorrow, acquainted with, as he lived here, so he is touched with the sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptation mean. He has felt the same. This blessed high priest was tempted in all points. I know you can't believe that, and neither can I. Well, we can't equate it, can we? We can't understand it. But I hope we do believe it. It seems sometimes too good a report to believe. It's an impossible thing. Can that great eternal Son of God, Son of Man, surely that blessed, holy, glorious Emmanuel, he couldn't be tempted like me. Yes, he was without sin. And the temptation had no power. But he's been appointed. He knows the assault and the power of Satan. But he answered your falling under temptation. He answered it with an accursed death. Yet a glorious death. Friends, he indeed was made sin for us. You see, it's written, cursed everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And he received that terrible curse against sin upon his own holy, pure, righteous soul. And he poured out his soul unto death. Though so pure and holy and loved by his Father, yet our most holy Father put his righteous servant to grief. Oh, he was made sin for us. Who knew no sin? So how he is so fit and so apposite for poor sinners, you see, to come and honestly confess their sins. He intercedes for them. He pleads their cause. He knows they're ruined. He knows they're fools in their very heart and slow to believe the word of God. He knows all their wanderings. He knows all their follies, their weaknesses, their utter helplessness. You see, nothing is hid from him. So the Holy Spirit working in your heart and mind will bring us to be very truthful, very truthful, and make us transparently honest as we draw near to beloved Emmanuel. Friends, the Lord hates dissembling and lying in his presence. I know poor Sarah was guilty. Yes. Oh, but she was forgiven. But you see, the Lord reproved and brought it out. He'll have you hide nothing. Before you get to heaven, my friends, I believe, though you actually can't literally confess everything, but from the fullness of your heart, you'll tell the Lord your whole life has been a life of sin that's come from yourself. But, oh, as you tell him all the truth, you have to tell him how good he's been to you and trace out his tender mercies. And now it's often heard your prayers. These are the confessions, you see. So from us he gets nothing but sin. But from himself we receive. And it returns in fruitfulness. Living desires in reverence and in honour. And it yields obedience. And you can see it in this woman's life. She obeyed the gospel. From the very beginning, she heard the Lord Jesus, she came. Now, we don't know anything about her later life, but we can truly say we believe she fought a good fight and eventually gained that victory. She kept the faith. But here you see there's a beginning of things, and so she pressed quietly and touched his clothes. And she knew something. She knew something. Ah, there are those here, sitting here, you know something, don't you? You know the days when you tried to repent and began to reform, but somehow, oh, you seem to get worse, and the guilt and the worry and the condemnation increased. Until you heard something by faith of the Lord Jesus. Well, now, I really want to just dwell on this clause and make a few remarks, and told him all the truth. I want to run through this, the Lord helping me, and how you have to tell the Lord the truth of all your sin and woe. It doesn't stop this side of the grave, because it's a daily sinnership that troubles you. Indwelling sin is a great trial to God's people. I suffer very much from indwelling sin. And so do you. And you know you're indwelling sin if your conscience is tender. I mean, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? It's monstrous, isn't it? It's woeful. Very powerful, too. Well, my dear friends, it's such a shameful thing, isn't it, indwelling sin? And what can you say before God? Ah, she told him all the truth. So, you see, no doubt, you see, she told him about a running issue. About a sickness and malady and the running issue. And how she wanted healing. If we spiritualise that, I know it was a physical illness, but ceremonially she was unclean. It was like the sin that comes out of your heart every day. Your thoughts. Well, our heart ranges here and ranges there. Think of the hardness of heart and the bad tempers and frames we get into. And how, my dear friends, we get taken up with this and taken up with that. And Emmanuel, who ever thought upon you from all eternity. You know, when the Lord lived here, you're in his heart, child of God. You're in his heart all day long and all night long too. If you're a child of God, you were. You were. You're in his heart. Oh, he carried you. He carried you and loved you with an everlasting love as he lived here. Think of the 12 gemstones on the breastplate of the high priestly garment, you see. Upon each gemstone was the name of a tribe of Israel. Oh, my friend, the election of grace. You're upon his heart. Oh, not much room sometimes in our heart for him, is there? This season of the year, of course, we think particularly of the incarnation of Emmanuel, though we need so much grace to think upon his name in a humble, exercised, tender, thankful way. One of the poets, I think it's Hart, speaks of the crowded inn. Yes, the inn had room for the crowded inn, like sinners' hearts, had room for various guests. Room for guests of various sorts, but had no room for him. So he had to be born out in the stable, you see. And my heart's just like that, and so is yours at times, my friends. And you can't deny it. So, what a mercy if there's some carrying of him in your heart by faith. And I tell you, that's why some of you are so tried and perplexed and as trials you carry and worries you carry, because the Lord likes to burden his people to need him. He'll burden you to need him, friend. He'll bring crosses and try your faith and bring trials necessary into our lives. I speak tremblingly. And I believe as you tell him all the truth, you have to own that indeed there's a need to be in this tribulation and a sorrow. I believe you'll tell him many times in your exercises that your heart wanders. And I believe you'll tell him that you can't bear fiery trial, and yet all you need is grace. You have to plead it again and again. Oh, I believe, my friends, we have to tell him how much we love this sinful world, and we shouldn't. Mind you, in the fear of the Lord, you know, if you've got eternal life, you don't really want the world when that's in sweet exercise. Deep in your conscience, in your, you don't actually want the world. But the trouble is, there's something new that does want the world. And hence the sore conflict. This is the comfort of God's dear people. Ah, my friends, but she told him all the truth. Well, we can safely conclude she told him of her malady, the running issue. Now, concerning a running issue, it's a wonderful gospel, you know. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe in confession you have to go back over your life and you tell the Lord how downright wicked and wretched you were in this, that and another. And you have to tell the Lord about it today too. You see, at times you get such a sight and sense of self, you say, and I use the expression in prayer, and I've used it about myself many times and still have to use it. Exclaim, Lord, I know I'm downright wicked. What a mercy other people can't read your heart. Wouldn't speak to you again, would they? You never had me to preach in this pulpit if you knew really what goes on in my heart sometimes. But I couldn't face if I knew you knew. I couldn't come and preach the gospel properly, could I? I'd be so ashamed of myself. But we're not meant to tell each other this, you see. It's your secret and my secret. Because we're so wicked, we'd enjoy each other's sinnerships, wouldn't we? You'd glory in it. And you'd feel it would stir up wickedness in your own heart. So you see, it's forbidden, you see. But you may go to the eternal Son of God, God's great high priest, and tell his pure, holy, lovely person how dreadful, how vile, how wretched you are, and plead his name. You know, Holy Ghost exercises don't stop at confession. Where there's Holy Ghost exercise, there's much confession, much confession, right to your dying day. But Holy Ghost exercise doesn't stop at confession, you see. She told him all the truth. So no doubt she traced up before him when she first heard of him. We don't know that, that's hidden from us, except that when she had heard of Jesus. Now, my friends, may you and I tell them all the truth as you draw near, and with thanksgiving and a humble adoration and honest confession of his goodness. We not only confess our sins, but we confess his goodness to us, undeserved goodness, unmerited goodness. How we deserve the lowest hell. You confess you deserve the lowest hell. You don't deserve his mercies. You don't deserve his daily loving kindnesses. Yet he daily bestows it upon you. But you see, you confess his goodness. See, she heard of Jesus and it had an effect on her. We don't know what was told or how she heard the means. It's all hidden away from us. But one thing is very clear. She heard such a report that it had in this effect. Now, if I can touch him, I shall be better. And have you heard that report? If you can draw near his blessed throne, come to his feet, tell him all your woe, and fill your mouth with holy arguments. Ah, she told him all the truth. And this, therefore, there was a pleading, a real pleading with the people of God. Oh, you will tell the Lord your weaknesses, your worries. No doubt you have to pray about next year, some of you already. Maybe you're praying about it for some while. As the years pass on, Lord, do be with me. Oh, bring me safely through. Lord, be better than all my fears. I don't know your cases, but the Lord does. Maybe there's mountains ahead of you next year. Mind you, I find it each year, and month by month there seem to be more mountains and more mountains and more mountains. And my old nature wants a life of ease, on plain and easy walk and lush pastures all day long. It would suit my flesh very well. But no, my dear friends, the Lord who loves you wants to hear from you, and he will hear from you. Because he definitely loves you, and loves from all eternity, who will bring you in such an exercising way to begin to love him and to value him and appreciate him. So it deals with in such a way in your providence and your circumstances to bring you to his footstool as a poor petitioner in all your worries and your tremblings and your trials. You have to go to the Lord and tell him you can't manage affairs. He must be with you. Have to go to the Lord and tell him indeed all the truth, that you dread this trial and you dread that trial. And you beg him for his mercy. Oh, he would help you and be with you. He may yet spare you. Have to say, Lord, I don't feel ready at the present time. I'm not ripe. I'm not ripe to go to glory yet, Lord. Oh, do spare me yet and strengthen me, Lord, and do prepare me for that day. It has to be thy preparation, Lord. I can't prepare myself. And told him all the truth. To tell him how weak you are and how cowardly your flesh is. I have to be careful how I speak. Don't want to speak in any way that will derogate the glory of Christ. Blessed be his name. But you know, friends, I've had to say this many times. I still have to say it. Oh, you know, I've got such a strong sinnership. But I've such a weak flesh, a cowardly flesh. Strong in sin, but can't stand up to trial. Soon sink under trouble, you see. What awful characters we are. We can be bold in our wicked selves. When it comes to trials and corrections, how we soon faint, you see. Oh, what weak, spineless characters as well. We haven't got strength to get to heaven, have we? We'll never get there in our own strength. We need mercy. And you'll have to go on your knees and ask him for his mercy, to deal mercifully with you. Well, we had to make confession. He told him all the truth. But I want to come to this, you see, and a couplet springs to mind in telling him the truth. A bleeding Christ is all they plead, and all that guilty sinners need. There's a sensible pleading of Christ in telling him all the truth. Now, she told him all the truth because she believed in her heart. Because she believed in her heart. As she drew near through the crowd, you see, obviously she inquired where he was and heard often, we don't know the distance, it may have been a mile, it may have been 5 miles, it may have been 100 yards, we simply don't know, and we're not to speculate. But she went out to see where he was. But of course there was the crowd. Maybe he couldn't actually be seen. And she'd never actually seen him before. So, we assume she hadn't. And if she had, he meant nothing to her. But you see, she was attractive. She was attracted. And so she has to come to this throng. This crowd, we don't know how many. And there they were thronging him. So that meant that she was being touched by many in the a general way of walking in a crowd. But no, she quietly sidled her way through the crowd, you see, and spied him. Ah, there he is. So she watched his borders, as it were, and manoeuvred her way and mingled with the crowd and gradually got up to him and just brushed against him by faith and wanted to go away again, knowing she was healed. This is secret religion in your closet. Oh, while we love to meet among them now, his gracious feet to bow, the vilest of them all, our happiest moments are alone. When are your happiest moments? I know if you get a touch in chapel, it's a very happy moment. I've had a few touches sitting in the pew, and one or two in the pulpit too. But really, friends, oh, it's those touches when you're alone. When you really have to draw near. If you, the Lord ever pours in his blessing and smite your soul, you want to be alone. You don't want company at all. You want to be alone before God. And so you want to be alone before God. But she couldn't be hid, you see. Christ must be reverenced and honoured. His name must be magnified. He must be exalted in his church. But sinners must confess him before the sons of men, mustn't they? Christ isn't honoured by silence. Why? The very stones would cry out if the disciples hadn't cried out, Jesus tells us. Oh, he must be magnified. His people are his witnesses, aren't they? And she was one of his witnesses. How good and gracious he was to her. So there are three different narratives, and we have it here. So he asked who touched him. And they were a bit surprised, of course, because, well, he was being touched by all of them as they walked along and bumped against him, as it were. Ah, but he knew somebody had touched him. Because he said, somebody had touched me. Obviously, virtue has gone out of me. And you see, when she saw she couldn't be hid, there comes a time in your life, friend, when you can be hid no longer. You can be hid no longer. You want to be hid, but you can be hid no longer. And we read in Luke that she confessed before all the people the cause why she had touched him. Here it says, told him all the truth. So she, of course, it was a truth in front of the crowd, wasn't it? She told him the truth. I want to come one or two things, you see. I believe we rehearse before the Lord very often his tender mercies and the word upon which he has caused you to hope. Oh, those good hearing times, those times when he visited you and blessed you and did you good. Do you remember when you first began to see something of the virtue, the mercy, the grace, the merit in Christ? He began to heal your soul. It was by faith you viewed it. You heard it all your life. I heard of justification by faith all my life, from Pastor Jake's gospel. It meant nothing to me for years and years and years. But our precious was such terminology, scripture terminology, the hour I first believed by the Holy Ghost, when he was made precious to me. You see, here you are, a poor, sinful, polluted sinner with a running issue. A day by day running issue in here, you see. The evil thoughts proceed out of the heart that defile the man, you see. And oh, how you begin to hear by faith of such a glorious day's man, a mediator, a saviour. No doubt it will be rehearsed in the pulpits this time of year and done properly in the fear of God. It's not wrong to recognise a special day. I know it's not the actual day of his birth, I realise that, but it's not wrong to keep a certain day if it's done to his glory. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Wonderful. Oh, are you saved from your sins? I don't mean the sins until you became a Christian. Don't mean those sins. I mean the sins from the cradle to the grave, all of them. And the worst aspect of your sinnership is sins against his love, his blood, sins against his name, his cause, sins against his righteous laws, sins against light and knowledge. Sins in your heart since the Lord had mercy on you. Those heart sins, those hasty words, those backsliding feet, all those ill manners, that rebellious spirit, that jealousy that might come into your heart. Oh, my dear friends, unkindness to others, selfishness, we could go on and on and on, it's so ugly, isn't it? Oh, his name shall be called Jesus. Shall save his people from their sins. Moses' sin in disobedience. Solomon's sin in idolatry of all things, bringing idols into the temple. David's sin in unbelief, in fleeing into the land of the Philistines, in unbelief after so much mercy, how he slighted God's goodness, forgot it. Unbelief took hold of him. He limited his dear Redeemer, who had anointed to be king over Israel. One day I'll perish. What about the anointing, David? But unbelief is strong. And then he walks in the cool of the day, falls into a terrible sin. But he adds to it even a greater sin. He planned very skillfully the death of the lawful husband, you see, so he could take her and cover himself. Oh, how despicable. Sins in numbering the people, the pride of his heart. The sweet singer of Israel. Yes, he shall save his people from their sins. We could go on and on from scripture. Yes, dear friends, a lying Jacob and a laughing Sarah. All the tender mercy of God. Ah, told him all the truth. Have to plead his precious blood again and again for your sins. Again and again for your sins. Oh, do you plead his precious blood, my friends? Venture to do so reverently. In early days, coming home from work, I felt so polluted. Oh, we can't go into all these things, it's terrible, but human nature, you know, and get taken up with things and hear all these things around you, see all these things around you, and your heart gets sort of half involved in it. Terrible. And going home, I said, it's all over, Lord, I can't. But, you know, I just can't pray anymore. Finished. And it came to me that I ought to try and So I heard much of the previous, it was on a Monday, this was Sunday, can the blood of the everlasting covenant, well, perhaps I'll try and plead, but do you know, the enemy said, if you're so wicked, if you plead that precious blood, you're polluted. You're polluted. It seemed to choke my prayer. Ah, but my friends, he's a liar. And though the Lord in his tender mercy has shown me indeed that in honestly telling the Lord your dreadful case, and pleading his precious blood, you can't pollute that blood. Such is his healing efficacy. It's shed for sinners. You think of the communion wine. Now I know the element is wine itself and stays as that, but it's a sign, you see, it's an emblem of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Drink you all of it. All of you drink it, every one of you, and drink it all. There's two interpretations, drink you all of it. Some say it means drink it all up. Others say every one of you partake. But I'm happy with both. Because everyone shall partake of the blood of the everlasting covenant, you know. If you taste that, you long to drink it all, don't you? You want to drink it all down into your poor soul. Now you see, dear friends, that precious blood was shed for sinners. It's the blood of the glorious God-man. It can't be polluted. Yes, it can be despised and trampled on. They can never be polluted by a poor sinner that needs it and thirsts for it and believes in it. Do you believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant? Do you believe in the blood of the God-man himself, the eternal word? Do you have to come to the eternal word and you have to commit your way and cast your care and tell him your secrets and plead his help? Tell him what a poor, sinful man you are. And in making confession to him, honestly return thanks for all his tender, kind mercies to you. You see, there's a pleading of the covenant in real prayer. A pleading of Christ. Oh, the Lord grant us some sacred sense as we try and pray. He reigns. He sits on that throne. All glorious. Friends, more full of grace than you have seen. Oh, he is love as God is love. My dear friends, he delights in mercy. The faithful angel of the everlasting covenant. He cannot lie. He cannot go back on his word. He said he'd never send any away that come to him. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me. And I quote it just now, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse all unrighteousness. Oh, there's much in this, you see. Told him all the truth. Oh, but you see, friends, you confess your sins to the truth and you plead him who is the truth. And you ask the truth for help. He's the truth that God is love and God is righteous and God is good. That God will be merciful and unrighteous and sins and iniquity will remember no more forever. Oh, he's the truth he hates to put away. Oh, my friends, his delights with the sons of men. Oh, what a glorious truth, you see. His blood speaks in the court of heaven. Your righteousness has been wrought, friend. Spare tomorrow, we don't like the thought, but of course we won't be completely righteous in our life tomorrow as far as our works and conversation and thoughts are concerned, will we? It's a solemn thought. It makes you weep, doesn't it? Makes me weep sometimes. You get afraid of the future, knowing what you're capable of, and you think about another day, and oh, have to confess your sins tomorrow evening are spared, won't you? Come short tomorrow, but your righteousness is in heaven. Emmanuel's lived the righteous life for you. He's lived the righteous life for you. You're accepted as a righteous man, pure and holy, and it's a righteousness that never sinned, you see. There's no such thing as a righteousness that has sin with it. It's unrighteousness. Just one taint of sin and everything is unrighteous. But your dear righteousness is in glory. He's gone to heaven for you. Now also, you see, she came and touched. And that really means venturing to the throne of grace. Venturing to the throne of grace. And I believe in pouring out your heart and pleading Christ, you'll know some touches. You will find some relief and help. If you have an eye of faith in this, an eye to the glorious days man and mediator raised up by God to his right hand, an eye of faith to the Lamb, midst of the throne, who shed his precious blood, who was dead, is alive forevermore. An eye to that glorious King who delights in mercy. And the glorious King that calls in the base, the forlorn, the wretched, the vile, the indigent, the lowly, the helpless, the dying, the hungry, the thirsty, the fainting, who in the heart want God. Oh, there's a mark of grace. Oh, you may say, oh Lord, I don't know much. I'm only a poor man. But one thing you know, you want God. You want God in Jesus Christ. You want God's mercy. You want it to reach your heart. Now these are the poor sinners that are so welcome at the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And I'll tell you a secret. If that's the exercise of, if you want God, it's the drawing love of the Father, according to the pure doctrine of the Scripture, for none can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. And you're drawn not as a sparkling sort of Christian, but as a poor man, a real sinner. Oh, and you need God to surround you with his love and mercy. God to order your providence, provide for you. And another thing, your plea is name. Such an all-prevailing name. That wonderful word, I fear it's so sacred at times. But it's so hard to enlarge upon. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Or to ask in a country good an eye to his glory. Lord, thou knowest my need. According to thy good will, being that righteous and merciful prince, oh, do thou so provide. Hear my prayers for thy name's sake. Anything, anything. He knows your anything. He knows your everything. Well, I'll have to think about closing, but I hardly got anywhere really. And told him all the truth. I believe in telling him, you'll tell him how good he is. You know, friends, the older I get, the more I have to thank him for, you know. The more I have to thank him, true, the more I have to confess the older I get. Yes. Have to confess more now than I had 2 years ago. Why, friends? For the sins narrow against love and mercy. Receive love and mercy too, but we're flawed. But I believe I've so much more to thank him for. Oh, sparing mercies, strengthening mercies, preserving mercies, restoring mercies, helping mercies, daily mercies at home, daily mercies at work, daily mercies in the family, daily mercies in our providence, our health and our strength, and still a hope in the gospel. Still you long for God. Still you still believe in his blessed person. You must come to him. Ah, we have to give him true thanksgiving, do we not? But I'll have to close. Told him all the truth. Now she confessed it before all the people. All the people. I touched upon that earlier. It springs back again. All the people. You know, dear friends, he calls his people his witnesses. If we confess him before men, he will confess us before his Father. If we deny him before men, he will deny us before his Father. Those things that are done in secret in your soul, they must be revealed. I know when years ago, back in 1978, I visited a friend who was very critical of our churches and the church at Maystone and the deacon and the ministry and everything. He was very critical, and I didn't know what to do really, because the Lord was blessing me, you see. So I thought, well, all I can do is to try and tell him something of the Lord's mercies to me, his visits, pardon of my sin. He'd come, and his dealings with me. So I had to try and tell him. It wasn't very easy to a critic, but still, the Lord really strengthened me, you know. He really did. And I spoke with boldness, and it quietened him, silenced him. And I got home, and sat down and pondered, and it struck me very solemnly. You've told a critic, who really is an enemy. I know he's a smart Christian, but he's an enemy of truth, you know. But we'll leave that. You've told somebody who's a critic, but you haven't told the Lord's dear people his mercies to you. And that kindled an exercise. It went on for some months. I didn't go straight away, but it sharpened an exercise. I had to go eventually, and my dear one came with me and had to confess before the church, mercies come to the sand. Oh, yes, mercies through blood. Mercy through everlasting love, a sweet hope in him. And I look back now with shame on my profession. Utter shame on my profession. Friends, I've come short in everything, but he hasn't come short in covenant faithfulness. What he's laid in your soul of his love and mercy, it stays, and it stays forever. Oh, as 766 says, John Kent in 766, I think it is, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Isn't he worthy? Is he not worthy to be honoured, reverenced, glorified, owned and confessed? Thus, poor sons of men, that, yes, your righteousness is in heaven. Oh, he's brought you to his feet. He's made his goodness known. Give raised up a sweet hope in his everlasting love and mercy. Now, as a poor man, no longer a rebel, you value his precious blood. You value his resurrection. You value his ascension to heaven. You value him upon the throne of grace. You value him as God's great high priest. Or you value him as the friend of sinners. You value him as you have to go and tell him all your troubles, believing that he is good. Has the Lord taught you and enabled you to believe that he's good? Oh, he's the blessed one. Ah, he's done great things for you. And we're still poor sinners, but your hope is in the finished work of Jesus. Ah, I know when I was first blessed, you know, it seems so sacred. It is finished. It is finished. Oh, believer, struggling now, coming short, often afraid to die, worrying about the future, yet putting your trust in the righteous God, in the glorious presence of his dear beloved Son. Your salvation's finished. Your salvation's finished. It's complete. Ah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, Mardin, speak to the heart to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned. To receive the Lord's hand double for all her sins. But I have to close his heart fast. And told him all the truth. And won't you sing of truth in heaven, friend? I should think you will. You will sing the truth there, you know. Your love, God. Your love, the Lord Jesus. With an unsinning heart. You'll crown him. Or you'll sing the loudest. Or you'll love him then. And I have to leave it now. Oh, it's a tremendous truth, isn't it? What must it be to be without sin? Your sin in Christ by your heavenly Father, without sin in his beloved Son. You're seen in Christ without sin, you see. Are you groan under it daily? But the day will come when you're free from it, for it will bring you there. And you'll see him whom your soul loveth, and you will love him forever and forever. The Lord in mercy bring us to that blessed place. But in the meantime, may we tell him all the truth. I've not been able to expand it like I had the meditation, but we must leave it. Just tell him everything, poor sinner, and plead everything that he is and what he means to your soul. You who know who he is, pleaded in your prayers, and tell him all your woes and all your troubles. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do bless thy own word of grace, and may something remain to be a help to one and another, to us each, and help us, Lord, to continually come to thy feet and tell thee all the truth, thou blessed Emmanuel. So do pardon anything that has been spoken wrongly in thy sight, and bless that which has been of thy good spirit. And do grant us now safe journeys home, and take us under thy shadow for ever, as we plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 263. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. 263.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.